Genesis chapter 3, we'll be looking at verse 1. Thank God this morning for the sound of voices that praise His name. Amen. Aren't you so glad to know this morning that the grave couldn't hold Him? And that of all the important people that have ever been talked about, our Lord and Savior sits at the right hand of the Father this morning making intercession for me and you. Praise the Lord this morning. This morning I want to read to you the Word of God. I trust this morning you have a copy of the Word of God with you. If you don't have one, we would love to give you one. But look with me this morning at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said to the woman, Whom gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let us pray. Father, this morning we pray for your many blessings to be added to your precious word this morning, that our eyes may be opened and our ears may hear, that we may be sensitive to your way. And the day, O God, that as we come to worship you, that we would be pleasing unto your sight. Father, would you help us now as we look to you. May you make your presence so ever felt, Lord, that God, maybe today that this service would be more than just an hour together, but it would be something that would impact our lives forever. It is in the precious name of the one who died on the cross, rose from the grave, and now sits at the right hand. In His name I pray. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you some very important things that Eve found out about sin. You know what's amazing to me is that we find ourselves in a heap of trouble sometime and don't realize exactly how we got there. We make a lot of mistakes, don't we, church? There's none of us perfect. And we all fail and we make mistakes, and some we live through and some haunt us for the rest of our days. But friend, I'll tell you this morning, there's one who loves us beyond our imagination. Jesus loves us so much that He gave His life for no other reason than to save you and me. But you know, the amazing thing is, He shed His blood to cover sin. Not that we should sin more to overcome the blood, but that His blood would overcome our sin. And this morning I want to look at some things that may help us to prevent us from getting into a lot of trouble. And finding ourselves looking up in the sky and saying, I wonder how I got on my back. Or wonder how my marriage is on the rocks. Or why are my kids so far out into the world? But Lord, maybe that today, some way, somehow, You could give us a touch from on high that would help us, Lord, to head off those places that we wind up in and we don't know how we got there. But friend, I'll tell you, the root of all evil is the love of money in 1 Timothy 6:10. But I'll tell you right now, the root of all destruction is sin itself. And that's a nature that each and every one of us have to contend with, saved or unsaved, because we were born in that way. Sin has ruined men, ruined women, ruined angels. Sin has occasioned every tear of sorrow, every sigh of grief, every pang of agony. Sin has withered everything that is fair, blasted everything that is good, made bitter everything that is sweet, dried up springs of comfort, rolled far and wide tides of sorrow. Sin has digged every grave, built every coffin, woven every shroud, and enlarged every cemetery that the world has ever seen. Robert Lee said. This morning I want to share with you some facts from the Word of God that, listen, we know how we got into this mess. We know that it was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that we trace it back to, because you know, if we follow our family tree back, you know that we all got Adam and Eve in common, don't we? We all come from there. There's somebody's great, 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 great granddaddy or grandmama. We come from the garden by Adam and Eve. But you know, the main thing is this morning that we know there's sin. We know we do wrong. But maybe God this morning can help us through some facts that Eve needed to know about sin. Maybe this morning will help us. I want to share with you the very first one. Eve was away from fellowship. You hide in order to sin. Do you notice that the Word of God says that the serpent came to her in verse 1? That Adam was not with her, but that Eve was by herself in this area of the garden. And the serpent approached her. When God is confronting Adam, He says, what have you done? Where art thou? You've sinned. Who told you you were naked? God knew they had eaten of the tree. But it was Eve who presented Adam with the proposal of eating the fruit. But it was the serpent who approached Eve in eating the fruit. She was by herself. And how many times have we gone off somewhere? Why do people wait late at night to break into houses? They don't want people to see them. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they want to be able to get away with it. Maybe if it's dark, they can get away from their sin. But I'll tell you, friend, an example in my life that may help you this morning. Preachers have to make themselves awful vulnerable sometimes to get the point across. When I was on my 13th birthday, and young people, you listen to me and listen to me well. This is not for bragging rights, but a heathen. I was 13 years old. I got on my motorcycle and I rode down to the barn. The barn at my house, my daddy and mama's house, I still call it home, amen. But the Bible did say that you leave and cleave. If you don't ever leave and cleave, you're going to have a lot of problems in your marriage if your mama and daddy's still running your marriage. Amen? So leave and then cleave. But I went down to the barn one day on my 13th birthday. Well, my daddy smoked growing up, and on the dash of the truck was a carton of cigarettes. Well, I reached up there and got me a pack of them cigarettes, and I kept them hid down in the old farm mall in the barn where nobody could see it. I was hiding awful well. Don't even remember what I used to light them with, but I think it might have been matches. I don't remember, but I remember where the cigarettes come from and how I got them. Well, I'd go down to that barn every so often, and I'd reach up in that old farm hall. I'd find them pack of cigarettes I had here. I'd go in there, and I'd light me one up. I'd look through the peephole on the barn. Because, see, I could look through that small, teeny hole where there used to be a nail, and I could see the entire, panoramic view. I could see everybody. They couldn't see me. You better believe I didn't want Mama to find me. Because you know she's the whooperer, right? Y'all know that by now. If you can't remember Mildred or sister, call her the whooperer. She'll answer to that. Anyhow, I got done smoking that cigarette and hid it back in the farm hall, got on my motorcycle and rode back to the house. It was my birthday. I pulled around to the front of the house and Mama said, "Been celebrating without us, huh?" Now, how in tarnation did she know I was in the barn smoking a cigarette? But mamas just know, don't they? I still ain't figured that out, but I don't care about it. That ain't important no more. But I got to the house and she said, "Go back and get them." I said, "What you talking about?" She said, "Don't make it no worse than what it is." Woo! "I'll be right back, Mama." Went down there, dug up that farm all, got my pack of smokes, and rode back to the house. She said, "All right, now sit down here in front of me in the living room." She said, "How many of you reckon's left in there?" I knew there was 20 in a pack, and I knew that I'd already been down there about 3 times that week, so there was about 17 left. She said, "All right now." She said, "Sit down right here." And she said, "I got a lighter." She said, "What you need to do openly." She said, "So let's smoke." In front of my mama? You must be lost your mind. Well, remember now, if we do things wrong, we try to hide, don't we? We try to get off by ourselves and so we can hide from those that it matters to and be around those whom it don't. Well, I started smoking, and I pulled it in and blowed it out. She said, "Oh, no, son, that's not smoking. That's puffing." I said, "Well, this is how I've been doing it." She said, "Well, you're going to learn a lesson today." She said, "Inhale it." I said, "Well, no problem. I saw him do it on TV." Now, mind you now, the only reason I was doing this is because I thought it was cool. I didn't realize I was a fool. But I got there and I started smoking on that thing and I inhaled that thing. Woo! See, I know the body's supposed to be pure for God, and here I am pulling this stuff in and it lit my world up. But she didn't ever tell me to blow it out. So anyhow, I got done with the first one. I went to go out and she said, "No, you're going to light the second one with the first one." Ain't that what they call chain smoking? Well, after about the 13th one, I was so sick I couldn't hold my head up. She said, "Now remember now, for everyone you don't smoke, you're going to eat." Cotton and all. But Mama. But Max. Okay then. I made a fair attempt to try to smoke them all because I'd rather smoke them and burn them than eat them. But I got to the 13th one and I fell. I stood up. I said, "Mama, I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom." When I got up, someone had hooked a crane to our house and was spinning it around and around while I was laying on the floor. I still don't know how they got that house up off the blocks and put it back, but somebody was spinning that house. And I went to puke. I didn't have to worry about eating the rest of them cigarettes. I was puking, trying to eat it, puking back and forth. It was the nastiest thing you ever seen. Well, it broke this young teenage boy from sucking eggs. But friend, I'm going to tell you right now, the fact of the matter is this. When we do things wrong, we have a tendency to go to the barn, hide what it is we're doing, and hope nobody else catches us. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Mama's got insight like nobody else has got. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, Father God, there's nowhere you can go and nowhere you can hide. I questioned my mama's tactic in that day. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd learned this from that logic. If you're man enough to sin, you need to be man enough to own up to it. These people running around here having youngins, breaking up marriages. Look here, buddy. If you're man enough to have a youngin, you need to be man enough to take care of it. I don't care if it costs you child support till they're 18 or whether they go to college. That ain't their problem. That's your problem. You play, you pay. If you're man enough to mess up, you need to be man enough to make it right. She went and hid in order to sin. Secondly, Eve listened to wrong counsel. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 1, there's two choices. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In these six verses, in the first chapter, or the first psalm, the Bible tells us very clearly, we have a choice. It is up to us. You may be living in a situation to where you say, I can't stop the drinking. I can't stop the drugs. I can't stop being a part of this sin. Friend, I'm telling you, you've got a choice. And Eve had a choice that day. Whether or not to listen to the counsel of the ungodly or listen to the counsel of God Himself. Friend, I'll tell you, if we'll start listening to God as much as we listen to talk show hosts, we'll get a lot accomplished. Amen? And it'll be for the good and for the glory of God. So many people, my wife is one and I love her to death, and I use her for an example. I may say, baby, I think the youngins are sick, or honey, I think you're sick. But until she goes to the doctor, she ain't sick. She may come back and tell me the very same thing I told her, but it don't count. You ain't a doctor, Mac. Who are you, Dr. Mac, she said. I said, well, just maybe. I got gifts of the Holy Spirit too. Amen. Yeah. Luke was a physician. But friend, I'm telling you, sometime we got to see it in order to believe it. Amen. Don't wait till you get yourself in a mess before you take heed to the counsel of God. Stop listening to the ungodly. You see where it got Eve. Eve put herself close to temptation. She saw the tree. Will you look with me there in verses 2 and 3? We're back in Genesis 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And the serpent said unto her, to the woman, ye shall not surely die. But look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Take note of this. The serpent has approached Eve away from the midst of the garden. Verse 2 says that we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Over there. Over there, the midst of the garden, they are not standing in front of the tree. They are in the garden. And the serpent comes to her, and he beguiles her, and he deceives her. And what you need to know this morning is that they were not standing in front of the very sin she was fixing to commit. Satan takes us from one spot, and he leads us by temptation to another. She was not standing in front of the sin. Satan don't approach you like that. He don't put you in a motel room with another woman out of town. You know that wasn't right. But God don't put you there. It was premeditated through temptation. God tests you in order to develop you. Satan will tempt you in order to destroy you. Get it right. Know who's counseling you. But that angel of light can bring to you the Word of God just a little bit misinterpreted and make it sound as if it's godly. So she's standing outside from the midst of the garden. But in this conversation, she is lured from her place in the garden to the midst of the garden, and now she's standing right in the front of the tree. Bible doesn't go step by step, but we know by verse 2, ye studiers of the Word of God, she's not standing in the midst, because she's making reference to the midst. You can't make reference to the midst if you're standing in the midst. But look at the comparison now in verse 5 and 6. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, Satan, listen, now he's tempting her. All along the way, this is what he's doing. But God knows in the day that you eat thereof that fruit that you will know the difference between good and evil. And he's just luring her. Can't you see him? He's in the form of a serpent, the snake. He's slithering on his belly the whole time. He's enticing her, tempting her, pulling her from the outskirts of the garden to the midst of the garden, from just as easy as from verse 2 to verse 6. And now he's got her standing right in front of the tree, looking at the fruit that God said you could not have. She was tempted. But do you notice the serpent could not make her do it? It's your choice. If you continue to live in sin, it's by your choice and your choice alone. Don't you blame it on so-and-so. And don't you dare blame it on the devil. Because it ain't the devil's fault. Do you know what we could get accomplished if men and women could just get along? We've yet to see what the church of God could do. People are always the hindrance. Why don't you come down? Oh, I can't go down there with so-and-so. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If you ain't going to church because of so-and-so or such-and-such, you don't care about God. Because this ain't the only church to go to. There's one on every corner. Don't come up here and use people as an excuse for you to go to hell. If you love God, you'll get to where He's at. And if you don't, then you'll do the other. And when the woman in verse 6 saw that the tree was good for food, see this? Do you see this, church? Do you see how this is happening to her? She don't know what's happening. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, he's got her standing front and center. Was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her and did eat. Why did he approach Eve? Was she the weaker of the two? God can't get you. He'll get to somebody who can impact you. You may be strong, and I understand that. But you take time in your days of strength to pray for those whom are weak, because I'm telling you right now, you can do anything you about want to me, but if you touch my wife or my children, I'm going to respond a little bit different. Everybody should know, and you know, and you live the same way I do. You might knock me down, you might spit on me, but isn't that the same thing Jesus did? Do what you got to do with me, but you don't touch my people. They had to spit in his face, didn't he? That didn't do anything. That didn't hurt him physically. Weren't they in there inflicting pain upon him? But the spit that run off his face, he took because he said, you can do what you want to do with me. But don't you touch my people. And people serve him so slothfully. So slack concerning the business of Christ and His kingdom. I stand before you and all the world and God. He deserves so much better than these feeble efforts that we call goodness. The Bible says that our best is this filthy rag. And you tell me what mediocrity brings. If our best brings filthy rags, then what is mediocrity? Matthew 18:8-9 says that it's better for somebody to, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If a part of you is preventing you from being a servant of God, you need to get rid of it. And you know, and I know, you know when you're being tempted. Don't act all naive. You know if that woman at the convenience store looks so good you can't hardly stand it, then why are you stopping at that store? There's other stores. You're going there because you want to go there. I don't care how good she looks. The biggest weakness of any man, and I'll tell you it's in the Word of God, and it exists today, is a good-looking woman. Write it down, take it to the bank. And when it's not a factor for a man, he's dead. And until he takes his last breath, he deals with that. And the best thing you can do is avoid it, because if you've even scratched the surface of this Bible, you will see where good, godly men fail because of the temptation of a woman. You need not go there. If she's working in your department, you better quit. You better turn your resignation in. You hear me, friend? You'd rather lose your job than your wife and bust your family up, getting your children on the weekend. Listen, what we've done, but it don't mean we've got to continue to do. Put an end to all this mess. Live right and listen to the counsel of God, not of the ungodly. We have a choice. Eve considered the benefits of sin, but not the consequences. All she could see was the fruit. Man, she had the whole garden. But she saw that fruit that the serpent had lured her to through temptation. But she didn't know in Genesis 4 and verse 8 that her two sons weren't born yet. Seth would come along later, but Cain and Abel were coming. But she didn't know that her sin was going to be the reason that her son rose up and slew her other son. I'm telling you, sin will trickle down through your family, through your children and their children. Walk away from the ungodly. You love your kids and live for God. She didn't know that eating that fruit that day in the middle of that garden would cause her son to rise up and kill her other child. And it was her fault. And friend, I'm telling you, with all that I am, had she never eaten from that fruit of that tree, Cain would have never killed Abel, because there were no sin. They knew no sin. Therefore, they could not commit the sin. She considered the benefits of sin, don't we all? Boy, I'd like to get over there and date old so-and-so. Boy, I need this for bragging rights. Tell you one thing. You think smoking pot and smoking crack and crystal meth and all these things make you cool? It makes you a fool. It takes a man or a woman to say no. It takes a pansy or somebody like that just to join in with the crowd. Makes you a weak vessel. I'm going to tell you right now, young people, you ever stand in front of some crack cocaine, you better walk away from it. I know people right now that can't get off of it to save their soul from hell. But you can listen to me, or you can experience it yourself. Which one you think would be the easier of the two? Eve looked at the one thing she did not have instead of the many things she did have. Boy, we're so blessed. And we the only ones that don't know it. We're always looking for the grass to be greener on the other side. And I've told you before, I'll tell you again, the only reason this the grass is green on the other side is probably your neighbor's septic tank. That stuff grows good around that, amen? That's all it is. But we just always want what we don't have, don't we, church? Got this hunger deep down in the nature of our sinful flesh. We always want what we cannot have. God help us to be take time just for a minute when we think it's just all so bad and grim and gloomy. Won't you just look around sometime? All you've got to do is most of the time it's within arm's reach of the bountiful blessings of God. Boy, you ever take time sometime just to hug your wife and thank God for it? Or your husband? Or your kids sometime? All these youngins running around this church, man, we so blessed, we can't. Always looking for gooder and better things. I know that ain't a word, but it is today. Always be looking for stuff like that there, and we got it so good. And we pay God attention about as much as we pay that wall. We ought to find ourselves many times on our face before God just saying nothing but thank you. And you know what? We ain't seen nothing yet. The better's yet to come. Those who remain in Christ alone. Eve changed God's word and then doubted God's word. A lot of people misinterpret the Bible and change it to make it conform to their lifestyle. Friend, will you look with me just across the page in Genesis 2:17? God is telling Adam, listen to this. Let's compare Scripture, if you will. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you see anywhere where he said not to touch it? Do you see that in verse 17 anywhere? It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Look at Genesis 3 now. Look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, watch this, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. I didn't see God say anything about not touching it when he told Adam. Be careful how you throw Scripture around. Very careful. When you're counseling somebody or talking to somebody about God who has come to you with full dependency, you're fixing to alter or enhance their path in life, you be most careful how you use the Word of God. Because if it is infallible, who are you to contaminate it? And if heavens and earth will pass away and this is the only thing that will stand, I wouldn't want to be in anybody's shoes who tried to change it or make it conform to your lifestyle. She took the Word of God. She doubted it. You all know what the truth is, church? A meteorologist can get on TV on the 1:30, 2 o'clock news today, and they can interrupt your program. Hear me now. They can tell you a great and massive storm is coming. Board your windows. Go get all the water you can buy. Go all get canned goods and perishable items because The electric companies have said maybe for 3 to 4 weeks you're not going to have any power and there's not going to be anything in the grocery stores. Go now. And you know what every one of God's people would probably do? Do you know what those people who are not living for God would do? They would immediately jump up, go to work, start boarding their windows, getting prepared for what is to come. And they're going out and spending everything they've got, charging it, doing whatever they got to do by any means to get that water and those canned goods, those perishable items. They would be getting prepared because a meteorologist on TV said a storm is coming and you have enough faith to go and make preparations therefore. But a man of God can stand behind a holy desk and tell people that Jesus is coming. Get your life right with God. Sin's going to send you to hell. The only way you'll make it to heaven is through Jesus Christ alone. And people just sit there like a knot on a log. And you tell me what's wrong with that. I'd rather face another Hugo stand in the middle of it with no protection than even 1 ounce of doubt of not going to heaven. But who is that meteorologist? Who is he in comparison to God's preacher? He's not ordained by God. But we'll sure listen to him, won't we? How do you know the storm's coming? Because he said it was. And I'm here today to tell you, there's a storm coming. One day there's going to be a commotion in the sky. Hey, he's going to step out on the cloud and Jesus is coming. He created you. He can kill you. Friend, I'm telling you right now, he's coming. And the only way you'll be caught up in the air is because you bear and live in his name. And the rest will sit here. Why is that? It doesn't mean that we are dumb people. It means that we are deceived people. Take note of this. Eve was beguiled. She was deceived. Watch this. Satan would never even try to tempt in an area of a storm coming. Watch this. This is the most vital thing you will be able to comprehend today in this message. Hear me now as the Holy Spirit speaks to my soul. The reason people do not forsake their sins for the Savior is because they are beguiled and deceived by Eve, by Satan. Eve, everything else was clear to her. Satan will not try to cloud your judgment when it comes to things like a storm coming. He don't care if you go board your windows up or go buy extra water. He don't care about that kind of stuff. But what Satan cares about is he's going to try to confuse and deceive you in these areas, because this is what matters to Satan, is that he knows he's going to be in hell for eternity. He knows it. Had he been able to defeat God, he would already be on the throne. He ain't waiting for the battle of Armageddon. He's waiting to that battle because he has no other choice. God's got him on a leash, church. Some way, somehow, I wish I could just throw something out there and the deception be gone. But Satan's presence is here. He's here. He's taking wool and pulling over eyes and stuffed it down in ears, and you hear me, but you don't hear me. You see me, but you don't see me. It's like an optical illusion. And he is full of illusions. Where he doesn't cloud you or confuse you to go get what you need for the storm coming, he will cloud and pollute and contaminate your mind when it comes to God. And he's got some right now, even as I speak. But church, maybe through just thinking for a second, yeah, you're right, preacher. Yeah, you're right. I believe that. I would go to town. I would make preparations. I would park my car in the garage because I don't want the hell to tear it up. I would do this, but there's something this morning wrong with me. I don't care nothing about getting right with God. I don't care nothing about getting closer to God. And it hits you for a minute. You're being deceived. He's beguiled you. He's tempting you. And His power is greater than yours. But like I told one fellow this week on visitation, you're waiting on those things that you have no control over. You're trying to fix them before you'll come to God. And oh, my dear friend, He's got you where He wants you. There's some things you'll never be able to overcome by yourself. So why not take the impossible in your life and hand it over to the only one who is possible? Why? You think you got it? Wow, you look like you're doing a good job at it. But maybe this, maybe Jesus is not the only one who had to go to the cross for sin. Obviously, you've got the power to overcome it, so you could have went to the cross. Wait a minute. You think you got it. So you think you got the tiger by the tail. You can handle it because you a man. You man enough to go to a cross and die for it. Oh, no, preacher, I ain't going to do that. If you're willing to sin, you're willing to suffer. Because it's coming. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, your sin will find you out. You can run, Jack, but you can't hide. Did Mr. Sanford think he could? He had an affair in Argentina. Was it far enough away? It never is. Your sin will find you out. I don't care if you're standing in the midst of the garden and your husband ain't standing beside you. Your sin will find you out. It's not a matter if you'll get caught. It's a matter of when. Why put yourself through that? I think a hard head makes a soft behind. Mine's soft enough, amen? God help us today not to be hard-headed, so thick-skulled that we think we got it all figured out. Closing down now, finally, brethren. Eve justified her sin by its helpful benefits, good for food, delight to the eye, deserved to be wise. As long as you justify your sin, I've told you this before, you'll never realize it. Eve did not realize that her sin would impact others. Do you know today that we're standing here preaching about sins in 2009 because of the one she committed in the garden? Listen, the blame's on Adam. Because she was there to be his helpmate. Adam is the one to blame. I know she took of the fruit. But Adam and Eve both, man and woman, boy and girl, suffer the payment today because of their sin. It's impacted us all, ain't it, church? I don't even think I'd have to be preaching today if they hadn't committed a sin. We'd still be hanging out in the garden. Huh? I wouldn't be up here sweating right now. I'd be jacked back up under a China berry tree. Them babies know they cool, ain't they? They smell bad when they're coming term, but they no nut blocks the sun like them China berries. They ain't the prettiest bunch, but they cool. They probably wouldn't have been a China berry there because they don't look good. God's perfect. And His people are when they're washed by the blood of the Lamb. We didn't necessarily choose
who we are. But we have a choice in what we are to become. That's why I don't know how people can stand there and do what they do to little babies. Them babies didn't have a choice. They were conceived. They should not die because of your foolishness or because of your immaturity. Those babies don't have a choice. We have a choice. Eve did not consider the changes in relationship that would take place because of sin. Let me tell you something. One of the biggest problems we have in this church is husband and wife relationship. Number one killer. Number one problem in this church. Biggest problem we got is room. Because of growth. Praise God. That's a good one. But let me tell you our number one bad problem. It's because a man don't know how to be a husband. And a woman don't know how to be a wife. I guess they've listened to the counsel of the ungodly. And they've listened to these talk show hosts and these other people who's got it figured out, won't take time to listen to God. A man's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church. I can tell you right now, I don't know how to be a husband. Not as good as I could be. But I got it figured out because I'm a man. Amen? I'm a man. I've learned a lot of men ain't nothing but a lot of boys who's got toys. And they put everything before their own responsibility. I've met some men in my life. They weren't what I thought it was supposed to be. Strongest man in here today ain't physical. It's the one who walks in the counsel of God. It takes a man to serve God. It takes a boy to stay where you're at. Yeah, I'm calling you out a little bit. But it's the truth. Same applies for a woman. Last one, we're done. Eve did not count on the cost of sin, for the wages of sin is death. Tell you something, when God came to that garden that day and He said, Adam, Eve, where you at? Because He loved. God absolutely thrives and loves fellowship with us. Even today. But we don't have a quiet time to be with God. So we neglect Him. And we just call on Him when we need Him. Maybe when a youngin's strapped up there with an IV or whatever, then, well, oh my God, you know, but that's the only time they do it then. Don't do it unless they're in bad shape, but whatever. Tell me it didn't cause friction between God and them when He said, where are you at? And He couldn't find them. Sin ruined the relationship. What happens now when God is confronting Adam and He's saying, Adam, who told you you were naked? Why have you sown those fig leaves to cover up your nakedness? Well, the woman that you gave me to be with me, she did. What you think happened to husband and wife? Because of sin. And around and around and around we go. Why are people fighting wars? Sin. Why are people struggling in their marriage? Sin. Why are these children doing like they're doing? Sin. The root is sin. I want to share with you an illustration and then I'm done. Do you know how Eskimos kill wolves? The Eskimos will take their knife, take animal blood, and dip the blade in the blood. They'll freeze it. Once it's frozen, they apply some more animal blood to the blade. They freeze it. And over they do that until the blade looks like a block of blood. Then they take that blade and they they take the knife handle and they bury it down in the snow. And the only thing sticking up is a block of blood with a knife in the center. The wolves will come by with their ability to smell blood, and they will lick the blood. Remember, it's frozen. So they lick the blood until they get that taste like an animal does, and when they taste blood, they go after blood. And that wolf will lick that block of blood until it's trying to quench its thirst of blood, but it can't get there. So it continues to lick on that block of blood, trying to satisfy that insatisfiable urge that they have within them. And little do they know that they begin to lick the blade with their tongue, cutting themselves, and they are actually feasting on their own blood, but don't realize it because the block is frozen. And you know how it is when you put something frozen in your mouth. It numbs it. What happens is the wolf goes on to lick the blade, cutting his tongue, turning around, swallowing it, trying to satisfy its hunger, and the wolf falls over on the snow dead because it killed its own self because of the hunger of the blood. Exactly what sin is doing to you. It has an insatiable taste. And you don't even realize it through circumstances, but you are killing yourself. Because what it is that drives you seems unquenchable. And that same thing is killing you and abandoning everyone else around. Are you ready to do something about that? Do you care? Do you even care? If you do, you'll be man enough, a woman enough, to face God here, today, instead of waiting till tomorrow, because they ain't no tomorrow. They ain't no tomorrow. The day of salvation is today. And I think we've suffered enough. Wouldn't you agree? Let's do something about it. Stand up with me, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, this morning we have examined your word. We have seen, Lord, what sin can do to each and every one. And God, we know this morning. God, I know with all my heart. Not upon request, but God, I know with all my heart because we face reality instead of justification. Lord, I know today there shouldn't be a reason that this altar isn't full of people saying, God, help me. God, I may even be on a road I don't even understand. I don't know where I'm going. God, I'm just kind of out in limbo. But God, I prayed you'd harness me and help me now. Because God, I don't want to go through something before I learn my lesson. God, I'll take mine today. God, I know there's some people here today that's not saved. God, they've never given their heart to you. And it's because of sin. Lord, they're deceived this morning. And God, I pray. God, I know that the power that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. And God, I pray for a movement of the Holy Spirit of God this morning to overcome that deception of the deceiver. And that we may leave here satisfied with the Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.